The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Everyone, and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to a couple of races at Wetherby as their Charlie Hall meeting kickstarts on Friday. It's a cracking day of racing elsewhere. We've got jumps action at Uttoxeter, the racing on the level at Newmarket, your usual double helping of all-weather racing on Friday evening with Newcastle and Dundalk. Plus, there's a good Irish card over at Down Royal as well. They're jumping there. The feature race is a Grade 2 hurdle on Friday. Plenty of top-class action across both codes to keep you going throughout the course of the day. You can join Dave Kellner, Andrew Mountain, Craig Forsyth from 12:25 on Racing Radio on Friday afternoon. My name is Sam Norris, and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is the aforementioned Craig Forsyth. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Sam.
How are you?
All is good. All is good.
Good.
Charlie Hall weekend already, Sam.
Yes, it's a cracking time of the year, isn't it? The sort of time when the national hunt season really goes up a gear.
Indeed, yes. Obviously, you know, quickly, we've got Carlisle on Sunday, the Colin Parker Memorial. And, you know, from now till Christmas, we seem to have a big chase every weekend on the calendar. And, of course, there's some other strange kind of racing happening across the pond this weekend, isn't it?
Does it do anything for you, the Breeders' Cup?
It doesn't. Well, it does, yeah. As a spectacle, yes. It's great to watch. But from a punter, I don't get involved whatsoever. So I don't know the strength of the form of the American horses. I don't know the bias of the tracks, you know, what kind of layout they are. There's just too much unknown quantity for me. And you're taking risks, you know, you're guessing and I'd rather like to think I start out favourite on a bet before I place it rather than, you know, have a few guesses. So I don't get involved punting, but I do like to watch it.
Okay, fair enough. And speaking of Carlisle, you were in fine form when you were there last week, I think, for us on Racing Radio. Any that went into the notebook that day? Tipped a few winners from the paddock.
There was a few, Sam. The horse that won the last race, James Hewitt.
Yes.
I think he's a horse that will go on and He should really, at that level, run up a sequence. You know, there was a few Sue Smith horses that needed the run on their return. It was great to see Johnny Sofa make a winning comeback. I hope he can build on that. It was a fantastic meeting. That was a meeting where, you know, the paddock was going to be helpful, but you still didn't expect to see some of the clues we did see that day. And thankfully I was there, and hopefully a few listeners benefited from that. But it was a very, very enjoyable day's racing. You know, lovely sunny day, a little bit on the cool side.
Yeah.
But you can deal with that. You know, it wasn't freezing cold, and it was just a really good National Hunt card.
When you're in the paddock at this time of the year, Craig, are you looking first and foremost for fitness? Horses that are returning looking clearly fitter than their rivals for the seasonal reappearance.
Yeah, particularly the horses that you know how they look physically.
Yes.
So, you're looking to see, you know, how forward they are in terms of the condition that they're carrying and the fitness lines that they have. And obviously the younger horses, the horses progressing through from the likes of bumpers to novice hurdles, you're looking to see the physical attributes of the horse and, you know, how you think they'll handle soft ground if it's wet or, you know, what type of a build they are and et cetera, et cetera. And you know, you quickly build a picture looking at the horse and you think, you know, what would be their ideal conditions.
Yes.
As well. So like the novice hurdle and, you know, the winner of the novice hurdle, David Armstrong's horse was an absolute standout. Mm. But he was absolutely hard fit, Sam. You wouldn't want to see him running, you know, at least within 3 weeks after his race, given you know how hard fit he was, Sandy Thompson's horse. So, you know, he's not going to have a busy campaign. It's clues like that. You know, if you've seen him running within 3 weeks, you'd think, "Oh, I'm going to take this on," because you know he might just bounce given how ready he was for his return to action. But yeah, it's a great time of year. I always think there's an advantage to go racing, not particularly for that day, like it happened at Carlisle, because that doesn't always happen that. But for building up a database for the future and you know, getting a good start to the year, to the national hunt season. So yeah, Musselburgh next week will be my my next visit, and I think there's another Carlisle quickly after that. I'm not going to get to the Colin Parker Memorial Day on Sunday. I'm in here, but there's one next week, I think, again, right, the back end of the week, which should be good.
And in terms of those juveniles, as you mentioned there, in terms of what the horse looks like as a specimen, I guess sometimes you can afford to take it on for today, but mark it down for the future. If a horse, for example, looks as though he's going to make a chaser in time, looks as though it's scoping there's going to be a future for the horse, you can at least know, I'll keep it on side, but I might take it on for today because today doesn't necessarily look the day for it.
Yeah, you know, that's one angle to look at. For me, I like to try and spot a handicap project.
Right, okay.
In those type of races. Yes. I'm looking further down the line.
Yeah.
A horse that probably, you know, bumping into some of the bigger yards in novice hurdles. Doesn't always happen in the north, but, you know, the majority of times it does. You know, you look to the future in terms of when they go in handicaps and racing against horses of similar ability. And there was a few. The one of in the first race that finished second at 40-1 Vodka.
Oh right, yes.
Sharon Watts runner.
Yeah.
You know, he was one that stood out in terms of should win a handicap, but he went and ran second to the short price favourite. So he blew that plan out the water for me, unfortunately.
Carlisle 2:15 Arctic Vodka.
Arctic Vodka, yeah. You know, he was a big type. And it's, well, you know, it's good to see horses that you don't think have a lot of scope because, you know, it's an angle when, you know, you see them racing again. And there's one tomorrow that I think, you know, in the Wensleydale Hurdle, American Craftsman. I think he could be one to take on. I thought he won a soft race at Weatherby. So it's good to get negatives in the notebook as well as positives for the future.
Definitely. Promises to be a cracking 2 days of racing at Weatherby, of course, culminating in the Charlie Hall Chase on Saturday, which looks to be a belting renewal, Craig. It's always a good renewal. We always see a few real leading lights start their campaigns there as well.
Yes, it is. It is. I got plenty of stick last year off the likes of Bendy Potter and the lads from here because I put Irish Cavalier up.
There was all
asking, how could you come up with that horse? It had no chance of staying. There was all, the abuse was incredible.
You had the last laugh though.
Yes, you know, for me, it's a real good renewal. Good to see Conigree coming back. You know, he's going to get his favourite soft ground. He has got other entries. But he said to Standard Q Card, who was a little bit disappointed in the race last year, and as he's got older, he's been tending to need his first run back. So I thought, he's an angle in, certainly, 5-2 to be taken on. You know, he takes a fair percentage out of the book. Definitely read, improved a great deal last year. He's an interesting runner. Black Lion, you know, a lot of people will be thinking Black Lion will be being campaigned with entry in mind and working the way back. But I think he's a better horse than that, Sam. I actually think he deserves his place in a race like this.
Okay.
I think he's a big player, Black Lion. You know, I think he could have a real good season over fences this year. And if I had to get involved, I don't think it is going to be a betting race for me, I have to admit. I do like Black Lion and Nigel Tristan Davis's other runner, Bristol Demai. You know, I thought at the price of 7 and 10 to 1 at this stage, if I had to nominate a couple for anyone to have a closer look at, they would be the two for me.
Okay, 7-4 for Conigree. Q Card is 5-2. Definitely Red 13-2. 7-1 Black Lion. More of that is 9-1. 10 for Bristol Demai and 20-1 and bigger the rest for the Charlie Hall Chase coming up on Saturday. You can hear that, of course, live on William Hill's Racing Radio. We're going to look ahead to Friday's card now at Weatherby and go to two of the feature races of the day on Friday, starting with the 2:35, which is a listed handicap chase. A field of 7 runners have lined up to take their chance in this one. An interesting little renewal, albeit that we're maybe a touch short on runners here for a listed chase.
Yeah, I'm going to take it. Well, not so much a chance, but given that we haven't seen the horse for 608 days, you know, it is a little bit of a chance in terms of him being, you know, at his peak, returning after a huge layoff. But Samatagal for me is the one to be with. He returns an extremely well handicapped horse, given the fact he's trained by Paul Nichols. You know, you would expect him to be returning to action fairly straight, Sam. And he's just absolutely stands out at the weights here. Royal Vacation had a real good first season over fences last year, which, you know, he won a grade one, which was the Feltham. Is it the Cato Star now?
Yeah, I believe it is, yeah.
At Kempton over Christmas, but he starts back out on a mark of 152. Now, he did follow up and win a handicap on trials day at Cheltenham last year, but still 152 is a stiff mark on the balance of his form from last season. So I think he may well struggle. Indian Stream, he won this race last year and he's only a few pounds higher this time around, but his jumping wasn't good on his return just over 2 weeks ago. He's going to have to be much slicker over his fences if he's to win this race for the second year. In a row, but I think the percentage call is to take Indian Stream on here. Splash of Ginge tends to need his first run back. I think he'll be of more interest once he gets this run out the way. Zamdi Man, trained by Venetia Williams, she's only had the one winner so far this season. You know, the yard not really up and running. Guitar Pete's been in form, but for me, you know, he's a horse that just finds winning a little bit difficult. So the return in Samatagal absolutely stands out from a mark of 144. Trip, track, ground, everything in his favour. So hopefully he can make a winning return to action.
Samatagal then in that 2:35 race at Wetherby gets the nod for Craig. We stay at Wetherby then for the next race on their card. This is the 3:10, a handicap hurdle this time over 2 miles. Got the dead eight runners lining up on at this occasion. And a real interesting blend of runners here, Craig. We've got some unexposed youngsters coming up against some horses who are heading to veteran status now.
Indeed. A real interesting race, Sam. And you may have heard me mention a race from the last meeting at Wetherby, a handicap hurdle. A race that I certainly want to follow. It was a race that was won by John Quinn's Master of Irony. And there was a horse absolutely tailed off in that race, finished stone last, called Ida, that ran on really well at Carlisle last week and finished third. And I thought, looks like I could be onto something here. Now, there's three horses that ran in that Wetherby race that all run here. Cornbra, who got out pace coming round the bend before running on again. I don't think he's going to have underfoot conditions to suit. I think he's a better horse on a much sounder surface.
Yeah.
I think he could well find the conditions a little bit too soft, Cornbra. Tyrrell, who wasn't anywhere near fully wound up for his first start of the season. He only had two starts as a juvenile last year. He's on a mark of 120. I think he's going to improve a great deal. He travelled like a reasonably well handicapped horse through that Wetherby race. He made a mistake two out, which finished him off. And from then on in, he was allowed to come home in his own time. I think he will definitely build on that. Mickey's horses are all badly needing to run this season. These little, you know, they've had a great summer out of grass by the looks of them. So he'll strip much fitter for the Wetherby run. And, you know, he's the one I do like here, Tyrrell, and he will be a decent price. And the other one that ran in the Wetherby race was Manella 5-0 for Sue Smith. But he's more exposed now at 9 and vulnerable to some of the younger horses. And when you look at the other few in the race, Golden Town, he usually, you know, picks up when it's all too late in the day, finds winning difficult. Anik Nam, Philip Kirby's, is reasonably well treated, but I think needs to, you know, prove his fitness after 724 days off. So the dark horse here for me is, well, not so much a dark horse, but an extremely well handicapped horse on his own.
The unknown quantity, isn't it?
Is Aristo du Plaisir, a horse that returned at Pontefract 11 days ago. He's a huge, huge, big, you know, chasing type, Sam. The stalls was no good to him. He found it all an experience that he didn't take to, and he was slowly away, and he had no chance. But what that would have done is blown away the cobwebs. Now, you're talking at his peak. This was a horse that was being talked about two seasons ago, has been on the verge of being champion hurdle class, you know, mid-150s. He's returning here off a mark of 125. Front runner, he's going to be away, you know, getting an uncontested lead, you would imagine. I think the likely opposition could well be Cornbra in the early stages. So he's the one I'm most frightened of, as Aristo du Plaisir, but I'm going to go with Tyrrell here. I think that was a real promising comeback, a real good-looking son of Teofilio. I do like this horse. I think he's set for a decent campaign, and that was a strong race he made his return to action in. So Tyrrell gets the vote for me in the 3:10 at Wetherby.
Okay, delighted to race Tyrrell then in the 3:10 for Craig. Thank you for that, Craig. Just give us a quick reminder, please, of your two picks for the action at Wetherby on the opening day of their Charlie Hall Chase meeting.
Yeah, we're going for the nap in the 2:35, the returning Samer Tegal off an absence of 608 days. And in the handicap hurdle, the 3:10, we're going for Mickey Hammond's Tyrrell to hopefully provide a much-needed winner for the yard.
Good stuff. The thoughts there of Craig Forsyth ahead of Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live from 12:25 p.m. on William Hill's Racing Radio with Dave Kellner joining Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mount in the studio as well. Craig, pleasure as ever. Thank you for that and enjoy the action on Friday.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.